We are thrilled you could join us today for another message from God's Word with my dad, Pastor Salem. Today's message, Our Glorious Savior, shares scriptures that are filled with beautiful pictures of Jesus. We hope it will comfort you and give you hope and strength. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're going to be talking about our glorious Savior. I love to preach about Jesus, and that's what's going to be our theme today, this wonderful, wonderful Savior. But before that, I want to read some of the letters because we get such nice letters, and I want to thank you for them, and I'll give you the address at the close of the service, and maybe you'll write us a letter, and maybe you'll send us a gift, and then we'll just carry on for the Lord. The first letter comes from Deer Lodge, Montana. This is a prisoner, and he writes, I am daily in the Bible and prayer. Fellowship is a little hard to come by right now, being I'm locked down 23 hours a day until I get a general population. Then I'll be able to attend a regular service with other believers. I remember a letter you wrote me months before getting here about talking to one man at a time about Jesus while I'm in here. Kind of use me like I'm my time as a missionary for Jesus. I pray daily God will use me and that I can speak through, he can speak through me to tell others about Jesus and repent and change their ways. Please, Pastor, pray for me. And this is a gentleman who wrote when he was in jail, hadn't been sentenced. And I wrote to him and says, well, now when you, whenever you're put into prison, you shine for Jesus. That's what St. Paul did. And that's just what he's doing. He's telling others about Jesus. Here's Austin, Minnesota. You helped me. You've already changed my life 100%. Now you understand that's the Lord's doings because I'm preaching the Word of God. That's where the power is. And he says, I always say, get the coffee ready and my Bible reading. It is time for happy time. I love to watch you. You have a way to make things much better. I've been disabled and have PTSD. Since Vietnam. This is the first time I've really seen the words and understand them. Thank you. And I've talked to this dear brother on the telephone. He's a wonderful man, and he loves the Lord, but he has some leftovers from the war, and he's struggling with that. So we need to pray for these, and we're thankful. Always thankful for people who served in the service. Here's Memphis, Tennessee. And this person says, I thank God that you came in, you come into our lives each week when we listen to your sermons every Saturday. Not all preachers preach the word. So that's why we get a lot out of each of your sermons. May God bless you, love your brother and sister in Christ. And we need to preach the gospel. That's what we're called to do. St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:16. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. If I'm up in that pulpit and I'm not preaching the gospel, and that is the word of God, then woe is me. And then he says what he preaches in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23. He says, we preach Christ crucified. Jesus Christ on the old rugged cross, shedding his blood for the sins of the world. And not only doing that, but being in the grave 3 days and three nights, raised again, and he walked among men, and we're going to see him someday, and we're going to be like Jesus. Yes, that's why I love to preach about Jesus. Now, we're a whole sermon today going to talk about Jesus. You're going to just love it, I know. One other letter, and here's one for all of you old-timers, you old gray heads. I'm 96 years old, so I can talk to you. I'm in the same level you're in now. And this one's Goodridge, Minnesota says, I'm so encouraged to see someone older who is finishing strong. It's so sad to see so many older people who think that now they can't do anything for the Lord. But as long as God gives us life, we can all do something. That is right. That's the nail on the head. Hit the nail on the head. We can all do something. You can't all get up and preach. But I tell you, you can all pray, and you can tell others about Jesus. The people, if you're in a home with somebody, they're taking care of you. You can tell them how about Jesus. Get them to trust in Jesus and live for Jesus and be an example of what it is to be a Christian. and then have a prayer list and pray for us and pray for the things the Lord lays on your heart. But the reason you're alive is because God wants to you to serve him. And listen to what he says in the Psalm 92, verse 14. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Do you hear that? They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Now, your body isn't going to be fresh and flourishing because it's going to pieces. I got a walker, and my body doesn't respond at all like it used to. But the inner man is flourishing. It's growing. And while the old outside man is going down, the inside man is getting stronger. And that's what counts. So if you're old and along in years, you're needed in the service of God and just to live for Jesus. Well, let's look at Jesus. And today our sermon, I'm going to have three texts, three scriptures. The first one is in Luke chapter 1, verses 78 and 79. And it's about the priest Zacharias. And he writes, through the tender mercy of our God, the day spring from on high hath visited us to give light to them who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So it talks about Jesus. Jesus has the day spring. And then the second scripture we're going to look at is Job 9, verse 33. And Job said, neither is there any days man betwixt us that he might lay his hand upon us. And we're going to see Jesus as a days man. And then the last one is 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. And he says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. So he refers to Jesus as the day star. So here's the three verses, and this is what they're talking about. First, it is Christ, the day spring, and that means he gives us light, giving us light. And then the day's man means he's bringing us to God, all of us to God who trust in Jesus. And then the day star is when he's coming back for us. So let's look at these verses. First of all, Christ is a day spring. The day spring from on high hath visited us. This is beautiful imagery, and it's taken from the glory of the eastern sunrise. And Zacharias was a priest, and he used to go to the temple, and he would do the duties in the temple. And he would go early in the morning, and he would look and see the golden dawn rise grandly over the dark chain of the distant mountains, and come across the everlasting hills around Jerusalem. And it's just a morning daybreak is what he's talking about. The Greek word translated day spring signifies rising, such as the sun rising at dawn. The English word day spring means, is beautiful too, and it means a fountain of light, a fountain of light. From this fountain, the day is poured out upon us from the morning sky. The figure is a true one, too, because from the sun, the fountain, our day is poured out. And so here it is, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is as sunrise was a favorite figure of speech used by the prophets and in many ways spoken of as light. For instance, Malachi says, presents him in these words, unto you that fear his my name shall the sun of righteousness arise from the healing in his wings. And so Christ becomes the light of the world. So here it is. It's just like it's a fountain. And instead of pouring out water, it pours out light. And it's Jesus. And Jesus is the light of the world. And now Jesus, he's the day spring from on high. And he's come and he puts light into a dark world. And all the world, you know, is in darkness. And the way of the world, they don't know God and they hate God and they resist the Bible and they don't turn to the Lord unless the Holy Spirit really works on them. And so we're praying that right now, if you don't know Jesus, that the Holy Spirit will speak to you and say, you need Jesus. So it's like a beautiful fountain and it pours it out. And this is light. And it says in Malachi 4, verse 2, unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Isn't that beautiful? And so now notice this, the origin of this rising. And it is the tender mercy of our God. That's the origin of it. It comes because God is merciful. God is sovereign, but he's compassionate, and he has a boundless love. And this all originates from God in heaven. And so we read that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, John 3:16. It originates, it comes from God. And it tells us why he pours out the light in the world, because it says, to give light to them that sit in darkness. The place in the world is a place of moral and spiritual darkness. The world is ignorant and polluted and miserable and terrible and anti-Christ and anti-God. That's the way of the world. That's why God says, you love the world, you cannot love the world and love God at the same time. You can choose only one. And so the only rising of the blessed day spring came, and so the shadows break and the shadows flee away. And with his coming, the mists of idolatry and ignorance and sin and all begins to move away. And this darkness is pierced by this wonderful light, the light of the world. And he pours it out upon the world. And so this world lies in darkness. And darkness is an emblem of alienation from God. When Christ came into the world, everything was in total darkness. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, right at the very beginning, it says, the whole world was enveloped in darkness. And when he came, the light came. And when Jesus came, the whole world is enveloped in darkness. And Jesus, the light of the world, comes. And he comes and poured out upon the souls of men and women, boys and girls, that's deep in sin. And so here is a picture, Dr. Jowett makes a picture of it, and he calls attention to this sitting in darkness. They're sitting in darkness. And he says, here's a man, he sits by an open fireplace, and it's a bitter, wintry night, a blizzardy old night, and he's in his nice little house, and he has that fireplace going, and the bright fire makes the room cheerful and genial and warm. And then besides that, he has a candle, and the candle fills the room with a tender, mellow light. And he's just a wonderful place for this man. And he's sitting there until the fire burns low. And then pretty soon it burns low. And then it goes out. And the warmth gives way to chilling, searching chill in the whole room. And then the chill enters the flesh of the man. And it's so bad that it enters his very bones. And then to add to that, the candle burns out and it stops. And so then the man is in that dreadful place. He's in darkness, and he has darkness and coldness, and he's sitting there, and he's helpless, and he's going to go to hell if he sits there for long and all the time. And then this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ comes, and the light shines, and the light comes on. That's a picture of humanity. There's no fire in the grate. There's no spiritual life in us as natural people. We have to have the Lord, and we trust the Lord. And so this wonderful Savior came and brought the light of the world, brought the light of the world. And so that's why when we read about this scripture, he says it's a wonderful, he's called the day spring from on high. And then the second thing he talks about is the days man. He says in Job 9:33, neither is there any days man between us that we might lay his hand upon us. A days man is a judge or an umpire. Or an arbiter or an arbitrator. And these two words are different, arbiter and arbitrator. They're practically the same, but they're a little different. The arbiter suggests the settlement of a controversy according to the law. An arbitrator means they decide something according to his own discretion. So Jesus is an arbiter because when he comes, he settles everything according to the law. And the days man is so called because there's a fixed day for the settlement when they get together, a days man, and he comes, this mediator comes to put them together and bring them together. And Job is saying, if God would just lay his hand on God and lay his hand on me and bring us together. I want to know God. I want to see God. I want to be like God. And so he's praying for that. And he says, I can't get to him if there would be just this somebody put his hand on me and a hand on God and bring us together. That's exactly what Jesus did. He's a messy because Jesus he's the one who brings us together. Mediator is two compound words. It means middle and or to go to in the middle or a middle person or a go-between. And that's exactly what we're doing when we come to the Lord Jesus, and he's a go-between, he's a mediator. And he comes to help us and to bring us to God and to bring us to salvation. And this wonderful Lord tells us in 1 Timothy 2, verses 5 and 6, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." Christ is the daysman. He is the mediator. He is the one that we can come to, and God can bring us together. And then the final one is Christ as the day star. In 2 Peter 1, verse 19, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." And so he's telling here, this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ is coming, and he's going to be that day star, and he's going to shine into this world, and he's going to bring glory to God. And so this means we're in the night time of Christ's rejection, and the world is against him, and the world doesn't want anything to do with him. That's why people don't want to go to where you're preaching the gospel. They just don't want to have anybody tell them what they can do or they can't do. They don't want the thou shalt not and thou shalt. They want to do their own thing. And they reject this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. And so when he comes and Jesus comes, it's like that day star, and it all breaks away. And this wonderful Savior becomes a wonderful Savior to us, and we can really rely upon him, and we walk in the light. So the Corinthians says, "God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light to the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And so when we are regenerated, when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, then that wonderful Savior, that light of the world will come, and the day star is there, and the light is shining, and the light is brimming with light and blessings for all of us. And there may be some of you right now, and the Holy Spirit is talking to you, and he's knocking at your hearts to open your heart to Jesus. He wants the light to shine in. And that's why we're told in Revelation 3, verse 20, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in." He wants to come into your heart. He wants to come into our life. I was 10 years old when I made that prayer. And I prayed, "Dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner. And I just ask you, please come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll make you the Lord of my life. I'll turn from my sins the best I can. Thank you, Jesus." Just in your own words, you make that prayer and you talk to that wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, because the day star that wants to shine into your heart, into your life, and you need to come to the Lord to do that. You have to receive him as your life. "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to those that believe on his name." And you receive him by just asking him in your heart. All over the world, you could be asking right now. And you're not, maybe you won't hear a voice, or you won't see lights or anything like that. But you just know, "I just want the light of the world. I want Jesus in my life. Oh, my dear Lord, I need you so." And you just pray. "I was 10 years old. And I have a daughter, and she accepted Jesus when she was 5 years old. And now she's a grandma living for Jesus." And I just urge you to make that move, make that step toward the Lord Jesus Christ, because he loves you and he wants to enter your heart. And so 2,000 years ago, the day star came and it began to shine into this world. And all those who open their heart to the Savior become his children and become his child. And when we do that, there's light in our life. And we're in the light of the world. And so then we're out of that. We're in this terrible darkness. And now we're transformed and we're taken into the kingdom of light. We're in the kingdom of Satan's kingdom of darkness, where men's eyes are blinded and they go in their sin and they're going over the precipice that takes them into hell. And then, but Jesus gives us the light of the world, and we can see where we're going, and we fix our eyes on Jesus, and it's a whole new story. And so we're looking forward to when Jesus comes again, and he'll come at his own appointed time. He'll come, And when he comes, we're going to see him face to face. And so that gives us hope. And that means that while we're in this world, we're giving everything we can to the Lord. And we're serving the Lord the best we can. And I'm going to tell you, you're never going to be perfect. You want to strive for perfection, but we're going to fail. Even if we have one bad thought, it's a sin. And so we ask Jesus to forgive us. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I've prayed that thing 1,000 times. And every time I sin, I go to Jesus to forgive me. Not that I'll lose my soul. If I'm accepted Jesus, my soul is safe, but I don't have that fellowship, see, that I can't talk with him. If you have a little argument with your wife, you just don't feel right, do you, until you confess it, until you make up. And that's what we do when we come to Jesus. We're making up with God. We're coming to God. And then we look forward to come, the Jesus coming again. And there's going to be troubles and trials in this life, but just keep your eyes on Jesus. Esther Rostow writes it and puts it like this way about the coming of Jesus. Sometimes the day seems long, our burdens hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch his bride away, all tears forever over in God's eternal day. Sometimes the sky looks dark with not a ray of light. We're tossed and driven on, no human help in sight. But there's one in heaven who knows our deepest care. Let Jesus solve your problem. Just go to him in prayer. Life's day will soon be o'er. All storms forever past. We'll cross the great divide to say glory safe at last. We'll share the joys of heaven. A harp, a home, a crown. The tempter will be banished. We'll lay our burdens down. And then she closes. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face will all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. That's the hope of the gospel. That's why I just love to preach the wonderful, wonderful gospel, because there's hope for everybody. You say, I've sinned so many sins. God will never forgive me. One woman says, if I would be baptized, the water would turn black. She thought maybe baptism took away her sins, but the blood of Jesus Christ takes away our sins. And no matter, St. Paul says, he was a chief of sinners. And if Jesus Christ saved the chief, he can save all the rest of us. And so you come to Jesus. And right now, just the Lord is at your door and he's knocking and he wants to come in and he wants you to put your faith in him. And you're saying, well, I think I'll wait till the next sermon. I'll wait till the next service and then I think I'll do it. Or I'll wait until our anniversary, or I'll do this or I'll do that. And you know why you're postponing it? Because the devil's telling you to. The devil will never tell you not to accept Jesus. He will never say that. He will just say, put it off, put it off. And then at a moment when we're not ready, we'll be taken out of this life. And after death, the judgment, there's no second chance. You have to do it in this life right now. And that grace of God is there and it's available to all if you just come to him by faith, believing. And I'm just praying that maybe there are some of you today, you've drifted away from the Lord. And you did accept Jesus and you're his child. And if you accepted Jesus, you're his child no matter what happens. I'm a child of Mike Salem, my dad. And no matter what I do, I'm still his son. And when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, not only does you hold on to Jesus, but Jesus holds on to you. And he says, I hold them in my hand and they will never perish. So I don't hang on to Jesus and hold that I can make it. I just give myself to Jesus and he holds me. And so I'm praying that you'll do that. And if you do that, then you write to us and we'll send you some literature. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is easy. It's box 2002, 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. And if you're on, and you'll have a lot of people on shortwave. We're on shortwave on 90% of the world's population, shortwave radio. And you write to us, and we just love to hear from you. At Christian Worship Hour, box 2002. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And let me tell you this, we need to have your help. You need to help us send us a gift to help us carry on this work. We have to pay our way just like anybody else. And so when you send your gift, we can pay our way. We can even put on new stations and preach the glorious gospel of Jesus. And here's something that's magic. If you want to send it on the internet, you can send a gift on the internet, ChristianWorshipHour.com, ChristianWorshipHour.com. And there's a place that says donate, and you can give with your credit card or your PayPal, and we'll get it in American currency, and we get gifts from all over the world to carry on this wonderful gospel. So we hope that you'll write to us. Now, if you wonder how the money is spent, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and they audit our books, and that is they check what we take in and what we spend out, so everything is on above board. So now I'm going to pray for you. And in our prayers, we always pray for the persecuted church somewhere. Today we're praying for the persecuted church in Egypt. So, dear Lord in heaven, we thank you for the multitudes that are opening their heart to you, the multitudes that drifted away and come back. Oh, dear Lord, there's rejoicing in heaven because of these wonderful people that have come to Jesus. And I just pray that you'll bless each one. I pray, Lord, we're praying today for our brothers and sisters in Egypt. And some of them are giving their lives, and their churches have been decimated, and their lives all uprooted. And so just help them to know that you love them and care for them, and you'll reward them in heaven. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So now we hope that you'll write to us. We need your support. We need your prayers. And it's easy to remember, a Christian Worship Hour. And that box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, or ChristianWorshipHour.com. And so I hope that you'll stand by and help us, because we have no other means of support except each of you. So now next week, we're going to be thinking about the Word of God and how powerful it is. And it's likened unto a hammer and a mirror, and oh, you're going to just love it. So tell all of your friends and get your pencil and paper and get on board, and we'll look at the wonderful Word of God. The Word of God is going to be after the whole world is gone, is dissolved in flames, St. Peter says. The Word of God is going to stand, and that's what we stand on, and that's why we know we're saved, is because the Word of God shows us the way. So, well, now we'll be looking for you. You pray for us. God loves you. Christian Worship Hour loves you, and we see you next week, Lord willing.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.